This is Nightlife with Suzanne Hill.
Conversion.
What good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret.
Well, if life is a cabaret, well, that would make life all glamour, mischief, satire and seduction squeezed into one intoxicating cocktail. That might not be true all the time, but tonight on Nightlife, it certainly is. Get yourself ready. We are going to have a sizzling conversion to cabaret tonight. Who better to lead you there than multi-award-winning comedian, singer and writer Reuben Kay?
That's my man for the end of the world. From his hair plucks down to his toes. A self-made man if you don't count all of the hormones and prescription drugs. He's worked until his body has reflected how he feels inside. Thanks to all the care that trans people are denied. I want a man who's like a hydrogen bomb. He can run a minute mile, but who knows what he's running from. He's spiritual, there's no chakra. He neglected the tattoo he got in Bali. It's so deep that it's infected.
He is razor sharp. He's musically brilliant. He is fearless. Reuben Kay has become one of the most celebrated figures in modern cabaret, building an international reputation for performances that are provocative, funny, emotionally charged, and impossible to ignore. Now he is artistic director of the Adelaide Cabaret Festival, which kicked off this week. He has joined me here tonight on Nightlife on a mission to turn you into a true believer. Hello, Reuben. Welcome to Nightlife.
It is a joy to be here. If we were in the same studio, we could be covered in nipple tassels and glitter.
That sounds like my kind of party, actually, Reuben. But anyway, alas, we are not. Here I am on the radio on my trackies. Not really. Now, look, an essential part of converting people to cabaret or to any genre, I guess, is for people to really understand what it's all about and where has it come from. Can you give us a potted lesson on what it is and where cabarets come from?
What a massive question to start
just
with.
In a couple of minutes.
Yeah, sure. So, in Germany, the art of cabaret for me, everyone always asks me what cabaret is, and for me, the simple answer is cabaret is the art of having a good time, right? But it's also, it's an art form that only ever has really flourished when it can push back against something. Cabaret comes to the fore at times of fascism. Cabaret comes to the fore when things are getting too constricted. It's, for me, it's the original punk before electric music came in, because it's direct address. It talks directly to the audience. It has to be spontaneous, of the moment, social commentary, song, story, comedy. It encapsulates a lot of different art forms. It's known as the bastard art form. And for me, that's part of the magic, because when something can be anything, to me, it's everything. And the best part of it, the audience has to leave a cabaret show feeling, and these are Virginia Gay's words, she summed it up perfectly, they have to leave feeling aroused, feeling exhausted, yet feeling like they could take over or change the world. For me, cabaret is the art form that actively terraforms the world each time it's done.
There are some rules, aren't there? I mean, I hear cabaret and I think of, you know, sequins or nipple tassels, as you suggested, or jazz clubs. I mean, there's a form of music that cabaret sits in, isn't there?
I think there are guidelines. But as I'm going to show you tonight, there's a whole bunch of different versions of cabaret. I think the cabaret that people know and think of is very louche, very brass heavy, sometimes a little Latin or tango infused. It lives in that Weimar, Bertolt Brecht, Kurzweil world, certainly. But then there are artists even now who encapsulate cabaret that are working outside those genres.
Let's start our musical journey. The first song you've chosen for us tonight is from an Australian actress, dancer and cabaret performer who goes by the name of Meow Meow. Tell us about her.
Meow Meow is an icon. Meow Meow is the Australian or the global cabaret artist that every other cabaret artist steals from. In the early 2000s, Meow Meow started to come to the fore, mid-2000s, with this character that was born backstage in an Australian theatre, and she is the feline intimate. She's the dilapidated diva. She's all of these archetypes, yet at the same time this very fragile little girl performing reinterpretations of Kurt Weill and Bertolt Brecht songs or Eisler, Spoliansky, People of the Weimar, but then also covers of pop songs. She was one of the first real interpreters and people who covered pop songs in cabaret and started that trend, started with Meow Meow. And she has gone on to now sing with Pink Martini, plays symphony shows, concert halls. She's pretty iconic. She is rehearsing and about to perform in Mrs. Lovett in Sweeney Todd in the UK. But this song is from her first original album, Hotel de l'Amour, and it's written, this song is called I'm Hungry. It was written with Thomas Lauderdale of Pink Martini.
I'm Hungry and That Ain't Right by Meow Meow, the first track chosen for you tonight by my guest, the fabulous Reuben Kay, who is here converting you to cabaret. I think I'm converted already. Your work's
Isn't
done.
It just the most beautiful gorgeous. Song?
Absolutely gorgeous.
Just the intimacy of it. I mean, you feel like you're there either in the smoky jazz bar or sort of just lolling around in bed with this sensuous figure. That sort of also encapsulates not just sensuality, but you're also thinking longing. You're also thinking like Bonjour Tristesse, like all of those gorgeous films, those gorgeous romantic noir films. She's an icon. Meow, meow.
How important is that sense of intimacy in a cabaret performance?
I am starting to play bigger venues now, and the struggle is because, of course, I want the band to grow. I want grandiose. I'm trying to work to a Vegas feel for my brand of cabaret, the cabaret that I enjoy. But the intimacy is so important, and the vibe of everyone crowding in. I think Brett Haylock, who was the producer of La Soiree, the creator of La Soiree, worked on The Clique, two Australian iconic cabaret shows, always said to me, the atoms have to be next to each other so they can fizz, so they can buzz together. Otherwise, there's no friction, there's no tension. It's about the community. It's about the bumping of shoulders. So for me, the small space, the intimacy is the magic of cabaret.
So where's the level where you can grow to without losing that? How are you balancing that?
Come to a show and find out. I think for me, I also look at not just this small jazz vibe of cabaret, but I'm looking at Vegas, I'm looking at the Rat Pack, I'm looking at MGM musicals, I'm looking at Danny Kaye, Donald O'Connor, famous clowns who have gotten big. See, even like Liberace for some is cabaret because it's direct address. It's music, it's chat, it's spontaneous, it's of the moment. It's more about the relationship between the performer and the audience than it is the theater and the narrative. And I think that's really part of cabaret for me, is it's about the performer and the audience, not just the performer.
What's your ultimate cabaret dream, Reuben?
Ooh. Do you know what? I think it would be lovely to have a venue. I mean, it's a nightmare. Anyone who owns a venue knows this, and anyone who has ever really thought about having a venue knows this. But the dream, the romantic dream of having an apartment upstairs and having the venue downstairs with the theatre and then the food and the drink and serving a late-night menu that's there until 3 a.m., with fun people coming in and out. Call it Rubies. That would be lovely. I would make no money. And just like now, I would have no pension.
Anyone got a cheap venue?
Sure. I mean, look, they're dropping like flies. If only I could think to, if I can put it under a bunch of luxury apartments and a Uniqlo, maybe it'll work.
Reuben Kay is with me. He's converting you to cabaret tonight. He is artistic director of the Adelaide Cabaret Festival, which kicked off a couple of days ago and runs through until June the 21st. All right, let's get our second track playing, Bette Midler.
Okay, so this is what I mean about scale, right? So from the deep and seedy, intimate venues of Meow Meow, Bette Midler rocketed onto the scene from playing the Intercontinental Baths, which was a gay bathhouse, with Barry Manilow as her musical director with a three-piece band. And then through doing that, through a couple of bits, she got onto TV as a guest artist, blew up there, and then she started touring. And the tours were big, and the tours were rocky, and the tours were fast because she was a rock and roll girl. But she was a rock and roll girl with this appreciation of 1930s, 1940s music. So she's sort of melding these two genres together. So it's cabaret, there's chat, there's patter, it's definitely about the audience, there's clowning. It's broad, it is brash, it is bawdy. And it was my cabaret awakening as a child was this special. This is her singing Big Noise from Winnetka by Bob Crosby and the Bobcats, a song from 1938, but the recording is in the 80s.
Bette Midler, Big Noise from Winnetka. It's Nightlife on ABC Radio. We're doing a conversion this Saturday night. We have Reuben Kay with you, who is working you to see if he can convert you to cabaret. How are we doing, Nightlifers? Are we there yet? Now, Reuben, you said that track and that performance from Bette Midler was a really, really key when you were discovering cabaret. Can you remember the moment you first heard it or saw it?
Yeah, I absolutely can, because I was raised in this little artistic house where all we had was old vaudeville, Groucho Marx routines, playing musicals, and this album of her previous recording, which was Live at Last, which was recorded in 1972 in Cleveland. And this is that is from the Divine Madness tour, which happened late in the early 80s, so I think 82 or 83. And we had a VHS tape of it, I think, and someone played it to me, and I was the kid who ran before I could walk, who would never go to bed. I wanted to dance the minute I heard music, and I could never be told what to do. And in that level of punk and screw you attitude of Bette Midler, I just saw something that connected viscerally with me. And she's there strutting around. If you see the videos of this, she never stops moving for that whole monologue. She's running up and down this stage. She is working that room. And in a way, in that huge room she's playing, she fills every inch of it, and she is tiny. So, yeah, so that really gave this, oh, well, there's the starting point for Reuben Kay. Anything below that is unacceptable.
And so was your childhood then filled with seeking out more of where that had come from?
100%. No, actually, I tell a lie. It wasn't seeking out where that had come from. It was seeking out applause and attention at any cost, possibly to the detriment of my parents' marriage.
Oh, no.
I just think I naturally had two very introverted but very smart parents. And that didn't feel like the way for me. It felt like, oh, I could be dumb, but my God, I will be out there.
Oh, dear. All right. Now, next up, we've got Come Honor My House by Eartha Kitt. Tell us about it.
I mean, Eartha Kitt, again, a real uncompromising icon of a woman who just bucked trend after trend after trend. An incredible artist, an incredible person. And this is her version of Rosemary Clooney's Come Onto My House. And playing for her is Tony Award-winning musical director Daryl Waters, who has worked on every Broadway show, won every Tony. And actually, Daryl and I worked together in a casino show in Hong Kong that was doomed from the start because the whole thing was designed to launder money to the Hong Kong mafia. So there's a little tidbit for you. And this is Eartha Kitt singing Come Onto My House.
Well, doesn't that sound like Eartha Kitt? Agimashou.
Come on to my house. Eartha Kitt, you're being converted to cabaret this evening with Ruben Kay. Ruben's currently directing this year's Adelaide Cabaret Festival. Ruben, what was it like when you got the call offering you the gig as director?
Oh, it was huge. It was like being asked, hey, do you want to climb Mount Everest in heels? And I looked at it, I thought, you know what? Like Edmund Hillary, I thought, I will do it because it is there to be done, which I think has also been said about me. I have loved this job because at its core, it's about finding artists who I love and saying, hey, do you want to come party for a month? And that's the joy of this job. And the team there at the Adelaide Cabaret, I think I thought that the team at the Adelaide Cabaret Festival, because it's part of the Adelaide Festival Centre, technically it's part of a government organisation, I kind of thought they would be very careful, or they'd want to fit me with a shock collar or some sort of, they'd want to chip me like a dog. But they have just said yes to every single idea. It's going to be a wild month full of artists from all over the world.
Now, we are about to move away. We've had three fabulous female artists, and there are so many great legends of cabaret that are women. Is that an accident?
I think there is something in the inherently feminine and intimate, and that transition of vulnerable to grandiose and show-stopping, that for many men, there is no vocab for that. To go for men from grandiose to vulnerable is actually very rare for men. So this next performer, I think, is one of the few that does it very well, and that's Rufus Wainwright. But he comes from such a great pedigree. I mean, Loudon Wainwright, Kate McGarrigle, the McGarrigle sisters, Martha, they really do that very, very well. And this is Rufus Wainwright singing Leonard Cohen's Everybody Knows. I think it's a beautiful version.
That's how it goes. And
Griffiths Wainwright doing Leonard Cohen's Everybody Knows. Now, Ruben, I've got Ruben Kay with me converting you to cabaret tonight. Now, when Leonard Cohen sings that, it's not a cabaret song. What is it exactly that Rufus Wainwright does that makes it one?
Rufus leans more into genre than Leonard, but I also, I don't know if I would agree with the fact that when Leonard sings it, it's not a cabaret song. I don't know, because I've never been able to see Leonard Cohen live, but I have this feeling that if he was just there at the piano, smoking, chatting, and singing those songs, it would absolutely fall into the remit of cabaret. But leaning into this tango, this gorgeous light tango that kind of changes and morphs, is a beautiful choice by Rufus. Fantastic arrangement. But for me, the verses, the lyrics of this are sort of really what make it a cabaret song. There's this sinister, sardonic, almost misanthropic truth-telling that sort of, for me, is one of the backbones of cabaret. It's the social commentary. It's the I'm telling a truth that no one here wants to say out loud.
Now, I did see Leonard Cohen live twice, but I never actually didn't know enough about cabaret to really think about that. But thank you for the explanation.
Well, I think this is the thing. Cabaret is such a broad church, and people have a very stereotypical or maybe archetypal view of it, possibly because of the music we're showing today. There's this very European jazz sensibility, very, as you say, brass, louche, loungy, slightly tango-y German vibe. But it goes broader than that, because it's not really about the style as much as it is about the moment between the audience and the performer.
Yeah. Ruben Kay is my guest on Nightlife. We are converting you to cabaret in all its varied and extended definitions tonight. Now, next up, we have The Ballad of Sweeney Todd.
Well, so I'm a big music theatre fan, huge music theatre fan, and there is crossover in the musical theatre world and the cabaret world, because so many musical theatre performers are not always in musicals and they need something to do. So every so often
they need attention.
They need attention and they need money, so they will get on a stool, and thank God they do. That's why you have this amazing gig economy in New York. You're thinking Marie's Crisis, you're thinking Studio 54, you're thinking the Carlisle Cafe, you go to London, you have Crazy Cocks, you used to have Café de Paris. There are less and less in London these days, sadly. You have the Other Palace. Some of the West End theatres hold cabaret nights. You have Freedom Bar downstairs in Soho. You used to have Madame Jojo's. So within that New York scene, specifically in Hell's Kitchen, Leah Delaria, who some audience members might know more for her acting work, she was in Orange is the New Black, and in many different things, was also a jazz singer originally and a stand-up comedian. And just think, if you don't know Leah, imagine the butchest lesbian you have ever seen in your life. I'm talking short back and sides, keychain, pinstripe suit, full aesthetic butch. This is a powerful, powerful person. And one of their great successes, her great success, was this cover of The Ballad of Sweeney Todd by Stephen Sondheim, which is also from my favourite musical of Sondheim's, Sweeney Todd.
Attend the tale of Sweeney Todd. Serves a duck and a hungry guy. To seek revenge may lead to hell, but everyone does it in Southern as well. As Sweeney Todd. The demon barber of Fleet Street.
Leah Delaria and The Ballad of Sweeney Todd. You are being converted to cabaret tonight by my guest, the fabulous Ruben Kay, who is directing the Adelaide Cabaret Festival, which is running at the moment. Now, Leah Delaria is perhaps an example, but Ruben, cabaret has very much been a place where the queer community have also gathered. Why have the two kind of, gone hand in hand?
I think because it starts in small venues. It started in queer clubs. Cabaret itself is about looking at the world through a tilted lens, whether you're changing how a song is sung, whether you're reinterpreting the song to your own narrative, whether you're making a joke out of something, you're parodying something. I think those are all very, very queer things to do. They're part of the queer community. It ties into drag. It ties into just that queer sense of community. And I think also just by nature of how these bars worked, how you had to keep money flowing in, and a lot of them were run in essence by the mafia as well, as queer people weren't allowed to be outspoken. So they built these own communities, and within these own communities, these microcosms, art forms generated.
Now, our next track is Marianne Faithfull, another iconic performer. This track is The Ballad of the Soldier's Wife.
I love this song. This is from her show 20th Century Blues, which she premiered at the Montreal Jazz Festival, where she essentially sung a range of Kurzweil Bertolt Brecht songs. Bertolt Brecht was a writer and a poet working in Weimar, Germany. Kurzweil, a composer who set a lot of his text to music. They collaborated on musicals together. This is a poem by Brecht, set to music by Kurzweil. Sung by Marianne Faithfull, and I think this speaks to the political nature of cabaret. This was written, I think, in 1942, and it's the story of a German soldier sending the pillages of war of Europe home to his wife.
What was sent to the soldier's wife from the ancient city of Prague, from the far-off Russian land, from the far-off Russian land. Thank you.
Marianne Faithfull and The Ballad of the Soldier's Wife. You're on Nightlife on ABC Radio. Suzanne Hill with you on this Saturday night. My guest, Reuben Kay, director of the Adelaide Cabaret Festival, which kicked off a couple of days ago and continues through until the 21st of June. Well, Reuben, tell us, because it's still on for another couple of weeks, what are the highlights of the festival? If people are listening thinking, you know, I wasn't into it, but now my interest is piqued, what kind of shows can people seek out?
Well, I mean, the Cabaret Festival is such a smorgasbord of shows. There's everything from Latin-themed salsa dancing with Sabor El Cuba, or you have the amazing Mahalia Barnes is coming to sing the soundtrack to Bette Midler's amazing movie, The Rose, incorporating other songs of Janis Joplin as well as that soundtrack. There's the incredible group Popo Moco are coming and doing a 10-year retrospective of their I don't even know how to describe it. It is absurd. It is clown. It is very sexy. It is very provocative. It is very funny. Dylan Adler, Jordan Gray, the list goes on. You can't make me pick from my children. The incredible Vince Jones is joining us. I brought the cast of Jesus Christ Superstar that never came to Adelaide. They're going to come. Casey Donovan is doing a one-night special of Amy Winehouse music in the Festival Theatre. Lime Cordiala performing with the Adelaide Symphony Orchestra. So we're bringing scale as well as intimacy. But if you don't know what to come, we have packages that you can just sign up and leave it up to us and we will curate. Or come to one of the late night banquet shows. They are the variety shows of the Fringe. Every night someone is in there doing a full lineup of different artists, and each night artists get up and they just do something absurd, something new, maybe a taster of their show, maybe something spontaneous. It's the best way to get the flavour of the festival.
Oh, you're making me wish I was home in Adelaide right now, Reuben. Alas, Adelaideans, you better get into it. Now, finally, Reuben, to take us out, Liza Minnelli, she seems to almost embody cabaret for many people. What makes her such an iconic figure in this world?
There is something about the uphill climb that makes the performer, and again, it is always about the performer and the audience and the loyalty, the love, that the audience shows Liza, but also her ability to just be at once this towering, powerful, sort of like giant titan in front of them, but also be this very tiny, wounded, intimate, open being is extraordinary. And this song is a song that she doesn't actually sing very often. In fact, I think she only sung it on this Tokyo leg of the tour when she was doing a tour with French-Armenian composer Charles Aznavour. And he wrote this song. Well, there's two versions of the story, that he wrote the song especially for her, or that he wrote it for his daughter and then repurposed it for Liza. But Aznavour also wrote songs for Edith Piaf. He wrote songs for so many amazing artists. And this song is one of my favorite Liza Minnelli songs. If you want to talk about scale in cabaret, this is it. This is Sailor Boys with Liza Minnelli.
Reuben, thank you so much for being my guest on Nightlife tonight. I hope you've converted many, many people. It's been such a pleasure having you on.
Well, if I have, they know where to find me.
They do. There is Reuben Kay, and here is Liza Minnelli.
My early years were years of joy. My parents taught me love and pride. But then I met a handsome boy who took my childhood in his stride. A golden youth, a careless whim, who once upon a summer's day persuaded me to lie with him and stole my innocence away.
Sailor Boys. ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.